Hello, and welcome to Good Morning Thailand. Today we'll be talking about some of the news topics from across the country. I'm Jay.
And I'm Alex.
This ad is brought to you by CarZuno, the easiest way to lease a brand new car in Thailand.
And we're going to be starting with our first story today, which is regarding a mid-air melee forces Kuwait Airways flight back to Bangkok. Now, a Kuwait Airways flight bound for Kuwait from Thailand devolved into chaos when a violent altercation involving a group of Kuwaiti women broke out, leading to the assault of the plane's security officer. With safety compromised, the pilot made the critical decision to reroute back to Bangkok's international airport. Following the emergency landing, Kuwait's public prosecution detained those involved, charging them with violent conduct and verbally assaulting the aircraft protection officer. The investigation continues as two individuals face further scrutiny at General Department of Criminal Evidence. Alex, who doesn't like a mid-air brawl?
What is with people like on flights these days? I feel like the tensions are just running so high.
Yeah. And, I love it.
These were a group of Kuwaiti women, too?
I guess.
Not my typical demographic for getting into a fight in the mid-air.
Just a couple of aunties on air just not liking. You know, it's probably someone kicked someone's back of the seat.
Ugh, I don't know, man. This
it's
is
just
why,
on edge.
I don't know. That's why I gotta bring a vest every time I go on.
I have a ton of jokes that I could be using right now that might be culture inappropriate or possibly get me in trouble. So I would like you to swiftly move on to the next story before I get myself in trouble.
Yeah,
how do they find the assailant?
Oh, good God. All right. Save it for the comedy stage, my friend. All right. I have those outlets for you. I got a show tonight.
Okay.
All right. Anyways, I got another weird one for you guys coming up next. So some health concerns are looming over the Thai Ministry's plan to auction decade-old rice. I don't know. Now, the Thai Commerce Ministry's plan to sell rice stored for over a decade under the Yingluck Shinawatra administration has raised concerns about potential aflatoxin and chemical contamination. Now, despite Commerce Minister's Pun Tham's attempt to bolster consumers' confidence by eating rice from a batch stored in Sudan province, watchdogs like the OCPB and FDA are urged to investigate. Critics, including Khun Wirang Rong of the Network of Universities of Reform, warn that fumigation and washing cannot eliminate all contaminants, posing significant health risks. Now, Associate Professor Pantipa also argues that the rice should be diverted to alcohol production due to its unsuitability for human consumption, citing insect presence and fungal contamination as evidence of improper storage.
We've all heard about vintage wine, but what about Thai vintage rice? That's a classic Thailand story. Let's go, baby. We're back.
Yeah, sounds gross. Interesting side concept, though. Hey, you ferment it. Turn it into alcohol. That's an interesting solution.
Thailand has amazing rice wine. It's not just the Japanese. If you've ever tried Lao Khao.
Lao Khao?
It's very yummy.
Sounds like...
Same, but different.
Same, but different. That sounds like it's not same at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyways, don't eat that rice, probably.
But what is there even a desire for people to have vintage rice? What's the selling point here?
No, it's there, and it's a storage, and they need to sell it or they get nothing, right?
It's important so because it was away. There during Yingluck's premiership.
We're making jokes before the show about that, but let's avoid getting... nailed by
allegedly, Alex. Yeah. Allegedly.
Just throwing that word and you're good to go.
Ourselves. All right, we're going to move on to talking about health. We're going to move on to our next story, which is regarding Thailand's health minister proposing stricter amphetamine possession laws. Thailand's public health minister, Somsak Thepsuthin, announced plans to tighten amphetamine possession laws, proposing to lower the threshold from 5 to a smaller number of tablets to classify possession as a crime. His goal is to align the regulations with the National Narcotics Act, which defines small amounts more clearly for personal use, while those with less than 5 tablets currently qualify for rehabilitation instead of prosecution. Somsak emphasized balancing the law with practical enforcement to avoid prison overcrowding. He also outlined intentions to cooperate with drug suppression agencies and prevent patients from evading state rehabilitation. Regarding cannabis, Somsak stressed the need for public input before deciding whether to relist the plant as a narcotic. How many pills is too many pills?
Well, I mean, you probably shouldn't be doing any amphetamines in the first place.
Yeah.
But typically...
our prisons are overcrowded. All right? So let's just... make it so that five tablets is okay.
I mean, one of the things about drug use and abuse, the victim is typically the user themselves. So I am a big fan of turning towards rehabilitation rather than punishment in a lot of these situations. Mm. But making it stricter is going to, like, I mean, the reason why they raised the limit in the first place was because of prison overcrowding.
Yep.
And now talking about bringing it back down means, I guess, they have some vacancies available these days.
I love how he also had to add at the end, he had to add something about cannabis. Best to, you know, let's talk to the people before we relist it as a narcotic.
I mean, they're playing some games right now with the substances and how they want to control them, that's for sure.
Depends who you talk to as well. I mean, it still divides, right? It's cannabis still divides the crowd, and some people do still see it as a narcotic.
I would call it probably the number one.
I don't like the smell.
It's
the smell. I've never heard that from anyone before.
I've heard it from a lot of people, honestly. But again, what is if that's your biggest complaint, all right? Yeah. Like, chill out, I think.
Yeah.
But that does take us to our next story.
I think the smell of the canal and the smell of the cannabis.
There are plenty of not nice smells in Bangkok.
There's plenty of things to fix in Bangkok before we go down that route.
Yeah, right. Well, speaking of cannabis, that does bring us to our next story, because Thailand's Prime Minister Sreta Thavisin has seeking to recriminalize cannabis 2 years after its legalization. So yes, Prime Minister Sreta Thavisin of Thailand aims to reverse cannabis legalization, urging the health ministry to reclassify the drug as a narcotic and restrict its use strictly for medical purposes. Concerns over the unregulated cannabis market leading to increased crime and access to minors prompted this policy shift. He demanded stricter enforcement against illegal drug activities, requesting visible progress within 90 days. Despite previous promises that cannabis would only be used medicinally after its 2022 decriminalization, the unregulated market thrived, leading to public backlash. While advocates argue that rolling back legalization would harm Thailand's economy and burgeoning cannabis retail industry, all major political parties agree on limiting cannabis use to medical use. Step backwards. I don't know. It's kind of a sidestep.
They've been talking about this for more than a year now.
I know.
Like, it's possibly going to take another 2 to 5 years.
I feel like we do this story once every couple of months. It's definitely, it feels like a kick in the can down the road situation where we're not really going to see any big shifts.
Again, I don't understand the need to decriminalize it or criminalize it again rather than actually fixing the problem, which is the regulation.
Yeah.
You know, they're worried that minors will get access to it, which I agree to. Minors should not have access to it.
Sure.
Regulate it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. They already have so many laws on the books that they're just not quite enforcing yet. So, like, I think changing it and making it more punishable for, you know, recreational users and stuff like that, they're already doing it. I've heard about raids that are happening quietly and people that are cutting corners and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're losing their licenses. So I think the general public push is to sort of clean up the scene a little bit, because it is pretty rampant. Like, there's more dispensaries than 7-Elevens now, I'm pretty sure, in Thailand. So I think that's where a lot of the public backlash is coming from. And as long as, you know, the market corrects itself and we see fewer of these businesses, then I don't know, public outcry is going to die down. And the other side of it is the billions of dollars that are coming in, not just like supporting ties in this economy. Tons of foreigners are coming in, bringing in direct foreign investment. It's a big industry. So,
it is a big industry.
Yeah, any policy changes will lead to billions of dollars shifting one way or another.
And a lot of angry people mobbing on the street.
They could use some weed to chill out, couldn't they?
Yeah. Could. Oh, well. We're going to move on to our next story. Now, they say all is okay in comedy. However, Thai comedian Udom's Netflix special has ignited debate over self-sufficiency. In his recent Netflix special, Super Soft Power, Thai comedian Udom Thepanich, properly known as Note, sparked a debate with candid commentary on self-sufficiency and the difference between the realities of rural life and its portrayal by celebrities. Udom humorously shared his personal struggles with self-sufficiency, revealing a preference for modern comforts over rural living. His remarks prompted criticism from retired police lieutenant general Rewat, who initially deemed Udom's comments disrespectful, but later acknowledged that no laws were violated and Udom's intent might have been misunderstood. Rewat emphasized that while comedians have creative freedom, making light of the culturally significant concept of self-sufficiency should be approached carefully. Ultimately, he acknowledged the entertaining nature of Udom's comedy and suggested that he may have overreacted to the special.
Dude, comedians get in trouble all the time.
Like, yeah.
It's really, truly is a, obviously this is close to my heart.
It's just comedy.
We're just telling jokes, people. Yeah. Like, it's a big part of it. And
yeah.
But the thing is, a lot of comedy is rooted in truth, right? And like, and striking a chord with people's emotions. And I guess the concept of self-sufficiency is sacred.
And I
here.
Get it. You know, he clearly was watching the special, enjoying himself, and then he started talking about a rural area, and he just went, "Wait a second! I live in a rural area. How dare he?"
It's like, make fun of those people in Bangkok, okay? Like, that's
and then he slept on it. He realized the backlash, and he was like, yeah, maybe I overreacted. It's just a joke.
Happens all the time, man. Like, people overreacting all the time. At the same time, though, like, I haven't seen the special. Have you?
Yeah.
Have you
seen? I have not, no.
I need to, because, like, it's blown up. People
Take
are really talking about it
here. Rural areas out of your goddamn mouth. That was a Will Smith reference.
I saw that.
For anyone.
You missed the slap, though, but it's, I'm the only one in range.
It's just difficult sideways, you know?
Yeah. Good for me.
I don't plan it.
Lucky. All right. Well, for our last story, I have a very harrowing tale that has a happy ending in the end. So a survivor has returned to Thailand to thank rescuers after her husband pushed her off a cliff and killed her unborn child. Now, Wang Nuan Nan, a Chinese woman who was pushed off a 34-meter-high cliff in Thailand by her husband while pregnant in 2019, returned to the scene of the tragedy to express her gratitude to those who aided in her rescue. Despite sustaining 17 broken bones and losing her unborn child, she survived and eventually regained the ability to walk after extensive rehabilitation. Now, the quote-unquote Thanksgiving trip was prompted by the death of a close friend's mother, which led Wang to revisit Patham National Park and thank the tourism workers who police officers who helped her. Her videos documenting the emotional journey have garnered significant support and admiration on social media. Her husband, Yu Xiaodong, who attempted to kill her and inherit her fortune and pay off gambling debts, was sentenced to over 33 years in prison. Hmm. Wang has since filed for divorce.
I don't think 33 years sounds enough.
Attempted murder?
Killing an unborn child.
That, yes, also that too. Yeah. Now, what was unclear, I'm not sure if he's serving that sentence in China or Thailand. Mm. It's not going to be a fun ride either way, I don't think. It's always nice to hear these stories, like when the attempt is made and the person survives. And that's a big deal.
What's more crazy is how the world and law works. She's still possibly married to that man.
That was a funny thing. She was until, like, I think she still technically is. She filed for it because all of this stuff happened cross borders, so there's just a lot of paperwork nightmare. But no, he's been in jail the time, so she's been safe. But yeah, just to think you can get away with it is just audacious and dumb. Well, goodies off the streets.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, those were some of the news topics from across Thailand. For those of you unaware, we are now going to be doing some stories from ASEAN.
Yeah, so we've expanded our scope a little bit. So we're going to be covering some stories that are popping off in, say, Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, everywhere around Thailand's neighbors.
Are those the only three countries you know in ASEAN?
I do know all of them. I just didn't want to list them all.
Sure.
Brunei was the one
Don't
that always surprised me.
Let's I'm not being a hypocrite. Don't test me. All right. Let's move on to some ASEAN stories. Mm-hmm. Our first story today is regarding China.
Mm-hmm.
China threatens to release audio alleging secret deal with the Philippines over disputed territory.
Mm.
Now, Chinese officials claim to have audio evidence of a secret phone call with Vice Admiral Alberto Carlos, head of Philippines Military Western Command, allegedly agreeing to a new model for handling resupply missions to the Philippine-occupied 2nd Thomas Shoal in the South China Sea. They assert that his agreement had approval from higher-ranking Philippine officials, including Defense Secretary Gilberto Theodoro Jr. and National Security Advisor Eduardo Ano, who both denied Beijing's claims. The audio transcript could be released soon, marking a new chapter in the tense standoff between China and the Philippines with the U.S. support over disputed South China Sea territory. The Philippines Department of Foreign Affairs reiterated that only President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. can authorize agreements on the issue, dismissing Beijing's claims as misinformation.
Ever the controversy, the South China Sea, and What's up?
That was a classic story requiring the word allegedly.
Allegedly.
Everything was alleged.
Well, I mean, that's China's threatening to release the audio transcripts, which is supposed to be, like, non-existent, right? Yeah. Those kinds of talks are not really supposed to be recorded. Yeah. But, again, you can't really be making geopolitical agreements based on he said, she said. Right? Yeah. I think that's just not really how that's going to work in the end. But there's been military exercises being run by the Philippines and the U.S. there recently. So it's becoming a bit of a hotbed of a political issue in the region.
Yeah. Can I tell you a fun fact?
Sure.
Philippine Prime Minister Ferdinand Marcos. Mm-hmm. Do you know what his nickname is?
What is it?
Bongbong.
Bongbong. No, cute.
That was just a fun, unnecessary fun fact.
Yeah, Philippine politics is an interesting beast, I got to tell you.
Or necessary. Who knows?
Yeah, by the way, maybe I should do those stories now because I got the Spanish down. It's like when I butcher Thai names every single time we do these things.
All right.
But anyways, we're going to move on to our next story. And it's taking us over to Indonesia, where fishermen are facing economic hardships amid plastic waste pollution as they await global solutions. So fishes in Indonesia's Thousand Islands archipelago are suffering from the extensive plastic waste that clogs their waters, disrupting their livelihoods. Now, a fisher from Pari Island reports daily struggles with engine malfunctions and drastically reduced catch volumes due to plastic debris. Similarly, a fellow fisherman sees his revenue and daily catch dwindle while facing rising repair costs. The UN's recent Intergovernmental Negotiation Committee, or INC, meeting in Canada aimed to establish an international agreement to curb plastic production and pollution, offering hope for those embattled communities. Despite ongoing local efforts, including waste management centers and cleanup operations, the sheer volume of plastic remains overwhelming. Experts and officials stress the need for a coordinated, multi-level approach to mitigate the crisis, while affected fishers await meaningful solutions to restore their productivity and environment. This is one of those things where I feel like a lot of the waste of the West, a lot of the consumption culture of other societies ends up plaguing less developed economies.
It's not just Thailand with a plastic problem.
It's all of us. I mean, I'm sure Indonesia's got tons of plastic waste as well, too. But at the same time, you know, it's a global thing. And a lot of the culture that's been set up around consumption and just using things up and throwing it away, I think that can be, it's got its origins in the West. However, we create all of those environmental protections and standards for our own territory, meanwhile exporting a lot of that pollution to other countries. So, hopefully these fishermen can have their livelihoods restored.
All right. We're going to move on to our last story for today. Malaysia plans to gift orangutans, sparking conservation debate amid palm oil trade diplomacy. Now, Malaysia aims to use orangutan diplomacy by gifting the critically endangered apes to major palm oil trading partners like China, India, and EU, Commodities Minister Johari Abdul Ghani said this approach seeks to build goodwill akin to China's panda diplomacy while reinforcing Malaysia's commitment to biodiversity conservation. However, conservation groups, including WWF and Justice for Wildlife Malaysia, raised concerns advocating for preserving orangutans in their natural habitats instead of exporting them. They urge Malaysia to protect orangutans' native rainforests from logging and palm oil expansion, which have significantly reduced their population. Palm oil cultivation, central to Malaysia's economy, is efficient but environmentally destructive, threatening natural rainforests and wildlife habitats, particularly for orangutans on Borneo and Sumatra. Conservationists advocate finding alternative diplomatic strategies that emphasize sustainable development.
The palm oil crisis is it's a real thing, man.
Yeah.
Like, palm oil is used in so many products. I don't think you know how ubiquitous it is, but like, check anything, food, like beauty products, all sorts of stuff. And it's habitat destroying. Like, that's the orangutans are living there, but they're clearing those habitats in order to make more palm oil farms. I don't know.
Country officials and diplomats always find a way to kind of compare one thing to another. China has pandas. We have orangutans.
Yeah.
Let's trade.
I mean, the silly part about it to me is that it's like they're like with the pandas, they're really just trying to keep them alive. But using this orangutan as diplomacy is a little disingenuous to me because the whole point of the palm oil development is that it's ruining their habitats.
Yeah, depending on your love for animals, is a panda a lot more cuter and approachable than an orangutan? You decide. I will not be the judge for that.
Fair enough.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are some of the news topics from across the country and ASEAN today. There are, of course, more stories on thetiger.com and aseannow.com. Please go check those two platforms out. For now, we're going to dive into our live chat and say hello to all our viewers.
This ad is brought to you by CarZuno, the easiest way to lease a brand new car in Thailand.